Wild Party.
Well, welcome, Wendy. What a show today. We got a lot of exciting things happening.
Mm-hmm. We do.
Hey, say a word. Don't say, we're on radio.
I just finished working. It came from one office into the next office. So,
yeah, we're going to have Sam Grand, Executive Director of MN350 on. And there's some exciting news. Mm-hmm. And there was a news conference this morning that he was on that we'd love to talk about. And then we're going to have Audrey Thayer, who's running for city council up in Bemidji, and we're really excited to support those progressive candidates everywhere.
Absolutely. And I read her bio. She's really an interesting person, but we will get to that when we get to her.
Yeah. Right. Hey, let's just do before we get to Sam, let's just do a quick little couple news updates. What do you have, Wen?
Well, I'm just reading right now the three men accused of killing Ahmed Arbery. Now, everybody might have heard this already, but I just came out of my cocoon from working all day and haven't heard any news today. So this is news to me. Mm-hmm. The men are facing 9 charges, including felony murder. And this is the three men have been indicted by a grand jury in Georgia over killing of Ahmed Arbery. I'm not saying his name.
Yeah.
A prosecutor announced today. So, things are moving along. We have to get these people who are, killing African-American people. We need to get them.
Well, there's a big shift, Wendy, huge shift, and a lot of things happening. Mm-hmm. Working in the St. Paul Public School District, now all the SROs are out.
Mm-hmm. And those are the police officers that worked in the schools.
Right.
They're out.
Yeah. And so for good or bad, and which I think is good because of all the trauma our students in the inner city here have,
absolutely,
I think it's a good thing. We didn't have police when I was in high school. We didn't have one with an office hanging out. I mean, some of them have done a really good job at the school I'm at.
Yeah.
But I've also seen others manhandle 5-foot-tall 14-year-old women, young girls, I should say.
Exactly.
So it's times are a change and it's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
You know, one of the things, too, I don't know. I think we should just go into talk to Sam because we're really excited to have Sam on.
Oh, really? I had so much more to say.
We'll do that at the end of the show.
I'm just kidding.
Wow. You're in a good mood, Wendy. That's
I
awesome.
I am.
Hey, so we got Sam Grant, Executive Director of MN350, and he's got an announcement. I want him to make another announcement, but we also want to talk to him about who he is and what MN350 is. So welcome on Pilots Progressive Party, Sam.
Thank you, Robert and Wendy. I appreciate you all having me on.
Well, this is an exciting thing because we get the executive director. I mean, we have on our other shows, we've had Andy Pearson on. Boy, I'd like to say he's been on almost 10, 15 times in the last 4 years on our Native Roots Radio show. And then we have Nancy Bolio on Native Roots Radio, too, who also does a weekly MN3 or Bemidji update, Bemidji 350. But we got the main man here, the executive director. And thank you so much. And I just have to say one thing before we get going here is I think I talk to you and see you on a weekly basis more than I see a lot of my family.
We are family, Robert.
That's right. Thank you. I feel that way too. And I really feel what you're doing with MN350, it feels like you've been there a long time. And that's a good feeling.
It is a good deal. And I kind of feel like I've been part of MN350 since it actually started. Because my office was, in the same building, just around the corner from theirs. And so we've kind of been working in synchronicity ever since they formed. And I was on the board for a couple of years, but I'm, new in the role as the executive director. I just came in at the end of February, just before this COVID-19 crisis hit us all.
Yeah. And we're excited. The timing was weird, and also getting your feet planted because we all of a sudden had to wear masks and stay at home during that time.
And do
we did.
And all that kind of stuff,
And it was weird today, at the Attorney General's press conference, everybody's in this room and we're all wearing masks and talking to the media. It's pretty surreal.
Right. I saw Winona LaDuke said that was awfully weird, too. So, hey, let's get right into that right now. And I hope you have a time to be on for a couple segments. I really want to get into that exciting news and the news conference and what you can tell us about that. And then maybe the next segment, we'll just wrap a little bit about climate.
Sure. Sounds good.
Cool. So let us know. So the Attorney General, Keith Ellison, had a news conference.
The Attorney General, after months of careful deliberation and receiving some suggestions from people who've been looking at the issue of the contribution of these particular companies to climate change and greenhouse gas emissions, and investigating all of the approaches of other cities, counties, states to hold these fossil fuel companies accountable, has landed on an approach to do a consumer protection lawsuit specifically naming American Petroleum Institute, ExxonMobil, and Koch Industries as the defendants, you know, in this particular case. And Minnesota has some of the best consumer protection laws in the entire country. And the Attorney General Ellison's very capable team has, you know, really expressed a high level of confidence that they've got a strategy that has a good chance of working, and it has some similarity to Minnesota's very successful campaign against the tobacco industry back in the 1990s.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I really liked is that he spoke, and I really would like you to talk a little bit about what you said in the speech, because you've been fighting climate justice most of your life, adult life.
Well, it's been impacting me for my entire life. I mean, I lived right across the street from a company that was spewing toxic stuff into the air as a little boy, and so I developed lifelong asthma, which still impacts me to this day. And so the opening comment that I made is that we have to make a decision as a society about whether or not we're willing to allow the freedom to profit to be superior to the freedom to breathe. And I think it's kind of hard to imagine that society would say profits matter more than life. And so it really comes down to that when we think about the long-standing pattern of deceiving the public, which these companies knowingly and intentionally have done, at least since 1959, when a famous physicist sat down with American Petroleum Institute and showed them the science that was already known at that time in 1959 about the impact that their operations were going to have on devastating climate change. And then Stanford Research Institute did a much more robust study in 1968. And then there was a follow-up study that was done in 1979. And then the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change started in 1988 and, went even further into advancing the science of how this was going to devastate the well-being of the planet and people on the planet. So they've had lots of opportunity to change corporate behavior and be good corporate stewards of the environment, and they've chosen not to. They have actually distorted the science by coming out with their own phony science, which they have used to sort of deceive the public on another level that, we shouldn't trust what those other scientists are saying because they're just environmentalists. They don't care about, the well-being of people, and you have to support fossil fuels in order to have an America that's prosperous. So that's a whole other level of this. And then a third level is that they have never been held accountable for the unequal harm that the burning of fossil fuels and the leadership of their companies has had on BIPOC communities in Minnesota and everywhere else on the planet. So I'm excited that this lawsuit is happening, and I really hope that the Attorney General's office, with our support and that of most Minnesotans who, recognize that the right to breathe is superior to the need of any particular company to make a profit, that we're going to win on this case, and it's going to sort of set a new precedent for other cases against other companies that are also causing significant harm here in Minnesota.
Yeah, I was talking to Wendy earlier, or at the beginning of the show, is that how much of a shift that we feel like is happening on the ground floor. And Wendy has a question real quick.
Yeah, not really a question, kind of just a comment. you know, with these pipelines and like factory farms and all these things that hurt the environment. It's really environmental racism because these places are put where poor people live and people who don't have a voice and who can't stand up to these companies and fight them. And that's, you know, people end up with asthma and people end up with other types of health conditions because these things are placed strategically in places where they get away with it. I just wanted to hear what you had to say about that.
I couldn't agree with you more, Wendy. I think that there is a very strong intersectionality of race and class power. And gender, you know, dynamics as well, all figuring into who has more voice in society. And we have made a decision throughout, you know, American history to let corporations have more voice and more power than the American people. So we might want to call it a corporate democracy as opposed to a people's democracy. And environmental racism sort of defines that dividing line of who is organized to have the least voices consistently throughout the history of the United States, and that is the indigenous communities of this country and also the African American community in particular. You know, here in Minnesota, it is the American Indian and African American community that are at the bottom of all of the negative statistics and at the bottom of all of the positive statistics as well. So we've got a double, you know, negative pattern here where we're not benefiting from things that are going well in Minnesota, and we're being harmed more by things that aren't going well in Minnesota.
Hey, we're here with Sam Grant, Executive Director of Minnesota 350, MN 350, and we're speaking about the announcement and the lawsuit against Exxon and Koch Industries and American Petroleum. If you got a, could we have you on for one more segment there, Sam?
Yep, sure.
Awesome. Hey, you're listening to Pilots Progressive Party, and we'll be right back after this short break.
The Electric Fetus has reopened in a limited capacity. New hours are Tuesday through Saturday from 10 to 6, closed on Sunday and Monday. There are limits to the number of people allowed in the store, and masks are required. Web and phone orders are available for curbside pickup. They're only buying used vinyl at this time by appointment only. Visit electricfetus.com for all the latest info and to shop for music, gift department merchandise, and gift cards. The Electric Fetus is excited to welcome you back to a safe shopping experience.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey, Cudgy to everyone. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Network. In 2017, as a response to the shocking events that transpired at Standing Rock and the lack of accurate and honest information coming from local and mainstream media, we felt we had to do something about it. That is why we created Native Roots Radio, then Pilots Progressive Party, and finally, the new Native Symposium. We're still here. These shows have been supported by local businesses, and as you all know, unfortunately, they are no longer able to support us during this difficult time of the pandemic. This is why I'm here today, to ask you for your support. We feel it is so important to continue to bring this important information to you. Your support will help continue production and airtime costs. So please, if you can, visit Patreon Native Roots Radio Network and help in any way you can. Peeny Gee, and thank you for your support.
Hi, this is Chad from AM950. Whether it's storm damage from the past or a new issue that's popped up over the years, Snap Construction is the company we trust for all roofing, siding, windows, and exterior construction needs. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, and window company in the metro. Ryan has worked with many of our listeners and is excited to help more.
Thank you to all the listeners we have worked with and all the listeners at AM950 that we haven't had the opportunity to work with yet. This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. Safety of our homeowners and our team at Snap Construction has always been the utmost priority. We are still offering free, no-contact estimates. This summer at Snap Construction, we've rolled out a new referral program. Mention AM950, and we'll make a donation to the station in your name. Together, we can all work to ensure AM950 continues to thrive and grow in our communities. Call for your free estimate today. 612-333-SNAP. 612-333-SNAP.
Back to Pilot's Progressive Party. You know, I always used to cry when people would sing that song to me, Wendy, and make fun of me. So this is kind of my...
You would cry?
No, but, you know.
Hey, payback. You're on the radio now.
That's right. Oh, and I'm playing it, too.
That's right.
Well, we're here with Sam Grant, Executive Director of MN350, and all around a good guy. And Sam, I think we're close to the same age. I think you heard that song Sky Pilot before, haven't you? I'll take that as a yes. Talking basically what Wendy was talking about. And I think what you really bring outright for us is we're talking climate justice. You know, I think that's the, if I ever made a t-shirt, that's all I would put on there is climate justice.
Mm. And I think that when you make that t-shirt, Robert, you have to actually provide a little bit of insight on, you know, what that means. And so maybe you could have a climate justice with a question mark, and then it would just be a dialogue piece. And you could ask people, what do you think it means? And how do all of the issues that are impacting Native nations in Minnesota and around the world and peasants around the world and BIPOC communities around the world, how do all those core livelihood issues figure into what we mean by climate justice? I was in a conversation earlier today with one of the MN350 staff who was saying that there's still too many people who, when they think about climate justice, do not automatically think about economic justice, gender justice, social justice, racial justice. And I think that those things are inherently part of what we mean by climate justice. Climate justice is the demand that's coming from BIPOC communities around the world who are saying with an increasingly connected voice that the way people in our governments and our corporations and our civil society organizations have thought about how we move to address climate change is inadequate. And people in what we call frontline communities in the most impacted communities around the world, our BIPOC communities around the world, we're saying we're no longer going to be left out of the conversation, and we're no longer willing to just be at the table to negotiate around the agenda. We feel like it's necessary to change the agenda. So instead of thinking about how do we respond to the impacts of climate change already, what we're saying is we have to go further upstream and we have to change the whole narrative about this society that we're sharing with each other. The society we're sharing with each other has to commit to the well-being of the earth and the well-being of its indigenous, peasant, and poor population as a priority. And then unless we're starting from that place, we're not yet having the necessary conversation. So climate justice is demanding a whole-scale transformation of the narrative about how we share this earth.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. Wow.
So you have a lot to put on your t-shirt, Robert.
Oh, geez, yeah.
But the question mark was genius because it does bring up questions and dialogue.
Wow. Yeah, Sam, I'm like really proud to be a part of MN350. I don't really talk a lot about it, but on the air, but I am a board member of MN350. And one of the best decisions I've ever made is a vote for you to be executive director. I really feel like, you know, we said earlier, it seems like you've been around a long time and that's in a good way. I can't really see how things were run before you got there. So there's been a lot of good things for sure, but we really appreciate your truth and your perspective. I know I do.
And I just want to remind everybody to look up MN350 on their Facebook or website, MN number 350. And the 350 stands for the amount of particles of, is it CO2, Sam, in the air that is,
that's correct,
that is safe?
It's considered the acceptable limit. Last time I checked, which was 2 days ago, we were at 415.7 or 8.
Wow.
And that's down from,
ways to go.
That's down from the April number because of COVID-19, which brought down that number a little bit. But, you know, that number is inevitably probably going to go back up. So we're way above where we need to be. And when we landed on 350, it's important to say that was our understanding of what we needed to do to get the climate to not go above 2 degrees Celsius as a global average. And what African organizers have been saying and indigenous people have been saying around the planet is actually that number can't go above 1.5 degrees Celsius. So we actually need to do better than 350 parts per million in the atmosphere. So the target is even lower than that. And so we got a lot of heavy lifting to do. But before I get off, I just want to say, while Robert gave me a little bit of praise for my longstanding work, one of the reasons I agreed to come to MN350 is because Robert was already there. And Robert got involved because he saw MN350 show up in what he perceived to be the right way around Standing Rock. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, when they think about MN350, don't think about it as a racial justice organization. So part of the dialogue Robert and Wendy and I want to have with people who are trying to interface with, you know, what a climate justice organization does is to really center how it has to deliver tangibly on racial justice. So thank you, Robert.
You know, one thing before we get going here, I'd like you to give a little shout out to the people listening to AM950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. And what I'd like you to do is maybe direct everyone to our front line and to our website, our front line fund.
Yeah, thanks for asking. Yeah. So if you go to the MN350 website, which is just mn350.org, and then you just, at the little search bar, you just type in Frontline Fund, you will find an opportunity to invest directly in that Frontline Fund, which will give you an opportunity to support tangibly what MN350 is trying to do around helping those most impacted communities practice some self-determination around how they see the intersection of the day-to-day crises of COVID-19. And other forms of structural violence impacting their community and the longer-term climate crisis. So we're starting to, you know, spread the word, and we're starting to find more people who are, you know, beginning to make those investments. We just met yesterday with a young woman who's a fabulous volunteer with our Calling for Change team for MN350, Grace, who actually shared how she did a personal fundraiser for the Frontline Fund, you know, using her own influence network, and she's about to launch a toolkit, which we will post on our website so other people can follow Grace's fabulous example and find a way to truly practice your racial solidarity by helping us grow the base of funds that support the critical work happening from the bottom up to address climate justice.
Wow, I couldn't say that any better. Thank you so much, Pinigigi, for spending some time with us after really what I think is a monumental news conference that you were really involved with and had a lot of great words.
Well, thank you, Robert and Wendy, and keep up your important and great work, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Sounds great. Thank you. Hey, you're listening to Pilots Progressive Party, and that was Sam Grant, Executive Director of MN350. We're going to be up next with Audrey Thayer, who's running for Bemidji City Council. We'll be right back. This is Pilots Progressive Party.
Hi, this is Laura. These are indeed confusing times. So much of our life, education, business, meetings have moved online, yet not everyone has internet access. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, is here for everyone. Radio reaches people without internet. In fact, radio reaches more Americans than any other platform. 92% of U.S. adults listen to radio every week. Radio connects. If you know some organization, maybe a religious or civic group, seeking to engage and knows that a Zoom call costs money and does not reach everyone, consider a taped or live broadcast on AM 950. Perhaps a virtual not-so-silent auction, recovery support, spiritual support, business networking, poetry slam. If you want to learn more about creating a live or taped message on AM 950, call 952-946-8885 or email Laura at am950radio.com. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, here for everyone.
Hi, this is Chad Hobart with Social Media MN. If you're running for office or a grassroots ballot initiative, getting out door-to-door made a lot of sense before coronavirus. Progressive candidates historically win elections with one-to-one voter contact, door knocking, and by organizing. With coronavirus, candidates and ballot initiatives need to pivot and recalibrate with a digital marketing strategy to provide one-to-one voter contact and organizing opportunities. An effective digital strategy will likely determine if your race goes blue this year or whether you're singing the blues. So, if you want to be singing Hail to the Chief on Election Day, Social Media MN can help. For a hassle-free consultation, contact us today at 763-244-4058. That's 763-244-4058. Or visit us online at socialmediamn.com. That's socialmediamn.com.
If your appliances have been limping along, or maybe you just wish they were so you could finally get that upgrade, now is the time to buy with Warner Stellion. Factory shutdowns are causing shortages in some categories, but Minnesota's own Warner Stellion has thousands of appliances in stock, including special buys no one else has. Plus, save an exclusive 5% with your Warner's card. You'll still enjoy free delivery and haul away by our trusted specialists. There won't be a better time, so don't wait. Save in-store or online at WarnerStellion.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for clear skies tonight with a low around 60, Thursday sunny with a high near 87, Friday rain with a high near 84, and Saturday sunny with a high near 87.
Don't miss the Home Improvement and Design Expo this Saturday only at the Healthy Sports Center, featuring up to 150 home improvement companies, giveaways, and more. It's the Home Improvement and Design Expo this Saturday at the Healthy Sports Center. See it all at expoguys.com. That's expoguys.com.
What a hypnosis is. What is it? Because I feel like I know. What is it?
Welcome back to Pilot's Progressive Party. Yeah, welcome back, Wendy. Hey, I got a quick story before we get to our next guest. Mm-hmm. So the first time I ever heard of MN350 was when we were protesting downtown St. Paul. And what happened was Standing Rock was happening. Mm-hmm. And the Archibald, the chairman, asked for people to come to Standing Rock and help protect his land and mm-hmm. pipelines. And a bunch of us natives were downtown, about 10, 20 of us. And then I heard of this action a week later, or a few days later, I should say, and 3,000 people showed up.
Wow.
And MN350s.
They're a driving force. They really have grown, and they're all over.
Right.
So it's really a good organization. So if you can find it in your hearts to dig in your pockets to help mm-hmm. them out, they're really awesome. So
totally. And then talking about the front line, people, I know I'm a part of that group, the BIPOC group, and we've are supporting groups up there that need help mm-hmm. financially. They're doing things like watching what they're doing with all those pipes they have up there, and
they're camping out. They need supplies.
Yep, and they're ready. Enbridge is ready to dig. I mean, they've already leased land to put their pipes there. Like, it's a done deal, and that's a great thing. What happened today with the Attorney General mm-hmm. Keith Ellison, and along with Winona LaDuke was there.
That's great.
Spoke and it was climate justice with a question mark. That's mm-hmm. that's really awesome. What a fantastic
concept.
Guest.
Yeah.
Fantastic
guest. He's great, Sam.
So we have Audrey Athayer, who's running for a Bemidji City Council. And we heard about Audrey through Nancy Bolio, who who's on our Native Roots radio show every week on Saturdays. Mm-hmm. And we're excited because we want to support what's going on up north and around Turtle Island in Minnesota, and people, BIPOC people and supporters of BIPOC people, and Democrats and progressive people. So we got Audrey Thayer on, and welcome to, so Audrey is here. Welcome, Audrey. I just read a note there, and I can't do two things at once, as you know, Wendy. So welcome to Pilots Progressive Party, Audrey.
Anin.
Hey, Wendy read your bio, and she's totally really excited about having you on here. And first of all, before I forget, I want people to go to your website and donate. So can you give us the name of your website?
Oh, you've got me stumped today. I think it's Audrey. Yeah, I didn't know I was supposed to have that ready. It's audreyforbemidji.com, I believe.
Well, and we'll put it on Pilots Progressive.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah. well, you know, because my email address is Audrey from Bemidji, and I keep getting these things mixed up. And let me tell you, my campaign manager is not really happy with me at times because I keep forgetting stuff. And that's Thomas Sorensen, who works for Regional Native Defense. And he's he said, if you'll run, I'll work on your campaign. And I think he didn't realize how much he was going to be asking to be, things to be doing.
That's right. So, Audrey, tell our listening audience who you are and why you want to run for city council and what things are you doing right now?
Well, who I am is Audrey Thayer, Ogama Migzi Ikwe. Indigo, and I have lived up in the Bemidji area, I would say, a little over 30 years. I've raised 8 children as a single mother up in this area, and I have a interesting work history. I started out in the county up here in human services as an interim family therapist, and then moved on to a very structured government job, Indian Health Service. And then I had a tragedy in our family where I lost my 22-year-old in a labor accident in Bemidji. At that point, I left Indian Health Service, and American Civil Liberties Union of Minnesota out of St. Paul called me and said, are you interested in organizing the Greater Minnesota Racial Justice Project? So I did do that for 10 years. And I was teaching as adjunct at Bemidji State University. And so I was done in 10 years with that. And let me tell you, that was probably the eye opener of a 7-county area to include my home going up in flames, my car windows being smashed. Those were the years, where people just did not want to see Audrey in a rural community. And I basically was paid not to be liked. I was challenging people and challenging the structure on social justice issues, and that intertwined with the Constitution. So those were the good years. And then I decided that I wanted to do something a little bit more easier. Turns out it wasn't. I'm over at Leech Lake Tribal College at an awesome opportunity with direct action in the classroom, talking about decolonization, history, philosophy. I'm really given a lot of support from Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe to do what I do in the classrooms, and I can see much success from that. So my run for the city council, I've ran before, right during the time, and I've been a social activist for all of my life since 18. And, the timing and this community has been, it's like it's in the 50s, back up here in the 1950s. And so often, we don't see, people of any colors, brown or black, that are given the opportunity to move forward unless you have, a credentialed, background, and you're maybe a little bit of a, believe in colonization, whatever. But it was, I lost like 25 votes on the county race. And then the next one around was really interesting because it was those city and county races are in the state, nonpartisan. They're issue based, but my political affiliations with the Green Party of Minnesota popped up everywhere. And of course, that was meaning I was an anarchist. That's what they used to call it back then. Not understanding that I was concerned about our environment and our water and how we live our lives in our pristine northern Minnesota to keep it that way. And so, I just did my teaching. And, of course, after Standing Rock, and I was out there as well, and, you start thinking about how you can create change in community. And it is about relationship building, and it takes a lot of work. But I think the pivotal point for me to make a decision to run was about a year ago. I wanted to see, similar to what Duluth has, a oversight committee on law enforcement, because the Racial Justice Project for ACLU, we focused 10 years on 7 counties on the racial justice issues in the area up here. So, a long story short, Thomas said, if you run, I'll help. And I knew it was going to be a difficult, it's going to be a difficult run at primary on August 11th. There's so many isms that are up against who I am and the perceptions of community about my activism. But yet I carry now the credentials that they look for. I'm an ABD and doctorate now in leadership from St. Thomas down the cities. So I'm just working now on my dissertation. And so that's scary to them. There's an indigenous woman that's educated. And that was intentional as well, because if they're not going to listen to a woman, with 8 children as a single parent who raised, and engaged in her children in this interesting little city, then it was, it's time for me to have that education and run. And so I did, and I am. That's a nutshell. Anything else?
No, that's good.
That was wonderful. And I want to say, I'm sorry to hear about your loss. And that was, thank you for sharing that with us. That's very hard to do. I do love in your biography here, or your little bio, that it says that you're direct and you're honest. And I like that. And I could hear it in your voice that you are very direct and very honest. So we appreciate that.
I have to give a little bit of credit to ACLU on that, because at the time, the director, he said, we're hiring you not, you're going to have to say things that you don't want to say to people that don't want to hear from you. And I had to learn that. And so let's learn behavior.
So we have Winona LaDuke on our other show, Native Roots Radio, I'm Awake, presents I'm Awake. And she always talks about the North as the deep North, like the deep South. And you mentioned it's backwards in the 50s, kind of what you're dealing with right now, in all facets, whether it's racism and whatever. So what are the things that you got you're up against, not only in running for a city council, but what needs to be done up there?
Well, and you're hearing it in the media, we have to have a complete change of the narrative of law enforcement, for sure, and a culture of change. And that is very difficult. Most people know that once you leave Bemidji and you go out to the rural areas, you'll see the 45th president's signs everywhere and on bumper stickers of cars. And that population of people have maintained and controlled, with a thumb on the indigenous communities. There's 3 large reservations that encircle Bemidji. We supply the economy, keep it going in this city. But yet we're the least considered for good housing, for good jobs, livable wages. And we also, because of our teachings, and I live a very different life, and I think I'm indigenous. I don't I'm not a Christian. So I, you know, that's another challenge, mm-hmm. when you're coming from a different angle. And I just met with, one of the council members today just to kind of get a feel of what she does. And I said, geez, how, will the reception be if I win? And I have no intentions of standing up for the Pledge of Allegiance. I can't do it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she said, that'll cause a rumble, but that's fine. You know, and, you know, because I have to stand on my principles. So up against very old cronyism, moneyed, you know, those who've had the benefit of living off of those who are not heard, they have controlled this area. And our voice as Indigenous people, we're finding it. We're rebuilding. You know, we have a lot more authors out there who are writing, women and men. You know, we have people who are running for office, as you know. And, of course, we have from White Earth, our lieutenant governor. You know, we've mm-hmm. got women who are stepping out. And that's also in our teaching. So I am actually following exactly. So when I say I'm being honest and I don't know any other way but to be mm-hmm. to lead the people. Alongside of them, not in front, but alongside. I'm very much servant leadership. So it's bottom up. That concept is very difficult for people who had control right. for too many years.
Right. Hey, so we're going to have your website out there and we're going to donate okay. some money because we need people like you to run for office. We always say at the end of our Native Roots Radio show, you need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. And when we have people like you on our show, it makes us so happy to support you.
And you stand by your principles no matter what the consequences. And I love that you say that you have servant leadership. I love that.
Yeah, that's what it's about. And we've got to bridge. We've got to create something new and invest in our everything that's around us. And of course, you know, my being an Indigenous woman, you know, all things live and breathe, including our trees and our grass and, you know, the birds and everything out there. That's mm-hmm. all encompassing. And our communities have to begin to understand that or we're going to lose it.
Right. And we are losing it. And I think
yes.
with the paradigm shift that's happening all over this country and all over this world with racism and things like that, we need to step up and support each other and support you. And because, you know, we're the last front, and Native Americans are the last front to total colonialism of this world.
That's in our teachings, by the way. So
right.
that we are supposed to be there. And I can't leave physically this earth, our teachings, unless I've, you know, that until the spirits in the other place say, you're done. You've done what you're supposed to do. Your spirit came into the world physically. You've done what you're supposed to do and you can go walk on. So I'm thinking, okay, I'll do this. And 4-year commitment to the community to create change and see if we can do it. It's a pivotal time right now. You know, mm-hmm. They talk about that new normal. We never had a good normal. And now we're going into a new normal. So I'm hoping that that new normal will be better than what we've had as normal, because it did not work for most of the people in this country who are not heard.
Right. So, and I think with what we went through with, or what we're going through with COVID, and especially the early parts of COVID, is we found out who is really essential. And billionaires and people like that aren't essential to this economy. It's the workers and the people that don't get support, don't get health care, don't get these things that that they need for essentials.
Oh, sure. It's absolutely true. It's very, very true. So it is Audrey Thayer for Bemidji. The 4 is a numeral, so it's Audrey 4, the number 4, mm-hmm. Bemidji.com. And then there's a donate to our campaign on there. There's also a video on there that I'm talking. And because I'm an issue based and I want to serve on the city council, but I also have to be responsible to the community. That means that there's numerous issues, and that includes housing and that includes employment, that includes straightening out a very tough system up here between the city police department, which I would have some involvement and engagement with the chief of police, versus the Beltrami County, which is very rural and very conservative, very, very conservative. And I have to bridge there. I've got to figure that out, and I am doing it. And I know I'm getting some support, but it's been some challenges. So the best one, just quickly, was I had my signs up right away. They were, you know, the nice, plain, recyclable things that you put up out there. And the city attorney calls me and he said, Audrey, you've put your signs up too early. The law says. And I said, really, have you looked at the page of the state election board and their director? And then I said, let me talk to Thomas, but I think you're wrong. And of course, we were in the right. Our signs could be up doing, they had a special listing. And I'm thinking, this is our city attorney. This is his helper, you know, city clerk. They can't go to the state page and just double check. No.
Right.
You know, but the other side of it, they had to accept the complaint because, you know, they can't say, well, you're wrong. But they might have had that information on the counter saying you're filing a complaint about signs out too early. And, you know, this is how small this little town is. Your signs are out too early. But, you know, they could have maybe had some education tools there on the counter and said, you know, you might want to read this before you take the time to file your complaint, because they move it on to the state and it's blown down. But this is that, you know, and I'm in my head, I'm thinking, we've lost so many indigenous people who've died in this community because of law enforcement and, you know, people who are hungry in this community, people who do not have access to health care or housing or good education, and we're going to worry about signs?
Exactly.
So that, you know, so that's kind of where I get a little edgy and try to be a good listener.
You're awesome. I really appreciate you being on. This was Audrey Thayer, and she's running for Bemidji City Council. Thank you so much. And you're listening to Pilots Progressive Party, and we'll be right back with a short little talk here before the end of the show.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Welcome back to Pilots Progressive Party.
Next Chapter Booksellers can help you find that perfect book. They have free home delivery within St. Paul for orders over $50 and free mail shipments within the U.S. for orders over $50. Call 651-225-8989 or visit nextchapterbooksellers.com.
Snap Construction wants to say thank you to all of the brave healthcare workers, first responders, police officers, and firefighters for putting themselves ahead of others every day. Your bravery is heroic, and to all of our fellow Americans, best wishes and health to you and your families from Snap Construction.
Hey, Cudahy to everyone. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Network. In 2017, as a response to the shocking events that transpired at Standing Rock and the lack of accurate and honest information coming from local and mainstream media, we felt we had to do something about it. That is why we created Native Roots Radio, then Pilots Progressive Party, and finally, the new Native Symposium. We're still here. These shows have been supported by local businesses, and as you all know, unfortunately, they are no longer able to support us during this difficult time of the pandemic. This is why I'm here today, to ask you for your support. We feel it is so important to continue to bring this important information to you. Your support will help continue production and airtime costs. So please, if you can, visit Patreon Native Roots Radio Network and help in any way you can. Pini Gi, and thank you for your support.
Now, more than ever, we are being faced daily with the topic of human mortality. And for many people, estate planning has been top of mind. Getting your estate planning done now can be easy and cost-effective. Schroman Law offers virtual options for initial consultations so that new clients can safely initiate the process. With many facing uncertain financial situations, Schroman Law also offers affordable fees for legal documents. Learn more at schromanlaw.com. That's schromenlaw.com.
I'm Nick Slavik, proprietor of the Nick Slavik Painting and Restoration Company. I speak nationally and internationally on the subjects of entrepreneurship, trades reform, apprenticeship, craftsmanship, and coding science. I've created a rigorous apprenticeship program where I find, train, inspire, and mentor young people in my craft. The result is an ultra-professional crew of craftspeople that cares about their work and your project. We're not like other contractors. Visit NICKSLAVIK.com. That's NickSlavik.com to learn more.
Back to Pilots Progressive Party. Yeah, welcome back, Wendy. What a great show, huh?
Well, we had great guests.
Right.
That's what makes the show.
That's,
I mean,
right.
If it was you and I don't know about that.
We'd be off the air in a week.
Sam Grant, executive director of MN350, was awesome. He brought us so much information, and what a great perspective on things. He got me thinking about some things. And Audrey Thayer.
We're back to Sam for a second. We got to go to mn350.org/frontline to support people that are doing the work and need our help.
Mm-hmm.
The things that people are working 9 to 5 that can't afford time-wise to do, mm-hmm. and they're doing for us. Audrey, I got a text from Emma Needham, and she said Audrey's her new favorite person. I was like, well, that's Wendy's new favorite person too.
No, off the air, I just said, wow, she's awesome. Imagine all the experience and insight that she has.
Yeah.
But she also stands by her principles very strongly, which may not, which could persuade people another way, but mm-hmm. she won't acquiesce. So.
Ooh, very good word. Very good word. That was awesome. And then, you know, the thing too, well, I asked Sam to be on the show, but Sam's just a good guest, period. But what Keith Ellison did today, and I know Winona LaDuke spoke 8 minutes about it too, and that's climate justice, just any kind of justice, and especially with the way things are changing right now. I mean, they really have a lawsuit against Exxon, the Coke Industries, and American Petroleum, which is, you know, the people that are running, are trying to make new pipelines up north.
Huge. Well, this has been going on for years. You know, like Sam said, years and years and years, these things have been, you know, talked about. And then they have the fake science and
right.
It's the corporations that win all along. And look at the mess we're in right now, where our numbers of CO2 are over 400.
Yeah, exactly, Wendy. Well, another good show. Everyone listen for us on Native Roots Radio on Saturdays from 1 to 3. Also, we do a live symposium on Facebook Live, and then it's rebroadcast on AM 950 from 10 to 12. And we have Native leaders from all over the country on there speaking their truth. This has just been an awesome show. And what else can I say, Wendy? Thank you very much for being my wife and helping me with this.
Thank you for being my husband.
Oh, hey, and the kumbaya. Right on. This is Robert Pilot and Wendy Pilot, and this has been Pilot's Progressive Party.